Mini episode 996 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 996. Have with us here today two of my favorite guys to break things down within the FDH Lounge, two of our favorite dignitaries, Steve Callis and Joe Stazak. You can hear them, of course, on the Callis Remarks podcast on a regular basis on the Sportsology Radio Network. Of course, Steve Callis is wont to pop up from all kinds of different outlets, FAN in New York, SNY, etc. Good friend Joe Stazak from 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia, where he has been kind enough to have me on to opine on a few things from time to time. So I'll start with you, Joe. Good to have you back on here, my man. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, great, Rich. It's always a pleasure, my friend. You know, of course, as I said before, thanks for coming on and your turn on what's going on in Cleveland.
Well, I appreciate all the great thoughts there and the chance to come on and talk with you, whether it be on your show, whether it be on this show. It's always a pleasure, as it always is, with Steve Callis. One of our longest-running FDH Lounge dignitaries and somebody that I've spoken with on a great many subjects. Steve, great to have you on today, my man.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be with both of you guys. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, we are breaking down today the 2018 Stanley Cup Finals, of course, and that between Washington and Las Vegas, a very novel matchup, one that we certainly wouldn't have expected at the beginning of the season, or perhaps all throughout the season. And I had made the joke, of course, when the finals came up that, oh my God, there's a team you would never think would make it to the finals. And let's not forget Las Vegas doing it in their first year as well. So the way that it played out, of course, Washington got the last laugh on me for making that joke. And in a year where teams are snapping historic streaks, almost getting a little bit of a 2016 vibe going here, whether it be the Cubs, whether it be the Cavs, whether it be Leicester City, I believe, in the Premier League. 2016 was a year of breaking historic droughts. 2018 thus far, the Philadelphia Eagles, now the Washington Capitals. Joe, I'm going to guess that one of those certainly went over much better than the other one in the city of brotherly love.
Well, the first one, yes, performed pretty well, as I recall, back in February. They're getting their rings tonight, by the way. All of the little here in Philadelphia. Then they were in the final day of mandatory mini camp for putting on breaks and ready for July and the regular camp. The other one, it's funny, that, you know, what the Flyers have done, particularly this year, I think that took care of them. They had a lot of hot stock, you know, a lot of them. The NHL sensation, although the best of the four, even though I love the other three playoff systems that they have. But Steve knows this. I've been picking the Capitals, you know, for, God, I can't even remember how long I've been picking them for. And this year, I almost said, you know what, I'm going to give up. I'm going to capitulate. But I went with them one more time, and just because I knew if I didn't pick them, they were going to make that run finally. So it doesn't matter if I picked them or not. It was a fabulous run by a team that just could never get over the hump. You know, in the last 10 years, couldn't get out of the first round three times, out of the second round six times until this year. I mean, you have to think about that. Think about every year getting into the playoffs and losing the first round three times, second round six times. Most of those to the Penguins, by the way. They took care of the Penguins on the road. They clinched the game on the road, but it was Nemtsov's overtime goal. And I think their series that really, really, you know, will stand the test of time is the Tampa series, because they had to go into Tampa and win a Game 7 after winning Game 6 at home, and Braden Holtby, who arguably could have won the Conn Smythe Trophy, you know, 2-1 goals against the average sensational, had probably one of the saves, all-time saves in NHL Stanley Cup Finals in Vegas. He shut the Lightning out in two games, and then, you know, it's a little disappointing if you're just a sports fan that Yankee Vegas make it all the way? Because that to me is like maybe the story of the year. If people around here like hockey more, I mean, that team basically, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury and a bunch of guys you never heard of, all of a sudden make it to the finals. And they made a good run. They won game one, but again, and Steve, you mentioned this before, there are a couple plays in the series that really, if they went the other way, and this is why, you know, this is a game of inches, it's a game of whatever, but Holtby makes that ridiculous save on Alex Tuff in game two. That could have been a good run to win that game. That was under 2 minutes left. Vegas, but I was like, we're going up to nothing. And James Neal in game four, this is a wide open net, you know, about 5 minutes into the first period, and that game turned, went Washington's way. But I'm really happy for Alex Ovechkin. I thought that he really, you know, did what most of the naysayers kept saying he couldn't do. He couldn't take a team and get them past the second round, but never won. But I think you can see by how much of the emoting has gone on with Alex and how excited he has been to win the Stanley Cup and taking the cup to the ballpark and just going bananas. And I think he deserves it. You can give it to Kuznetsov for 5 more points. The Holtby, if you want. I think Ovechkin deserves it. I think he's also kind of like a lifetime achievement award. But I am happy for the Caps. First time they ever, you know, won a Stanley Cup final game. First time they ever won a cup. Shut some Penguins fans up for a little while. And, you know, it's an impressive team. It's just, it's amazing how this team hasn't made it further. With you know, TJ Oshie, Kuznetsov, and Backstrom, and Carlson, and Ovechkin, and Holtby. It's a crime. Finally got it together. I mean, because I think that this year, if they didn't get it together, maybe they start breaking up the pieces and trying to go a different direction. But just an impressive run, and I'm really happy for Ovi.
Well, it's funny, Joe, you say that, because in looking at it, I was talking about the similarities to 2016 with some of the teams breaking through after historic droughts, something that would be continuing along those same lines, as well as being Washington's was sort of a, what you would call in fantasy sports, a post-hype breakout, such as like Josh Hamilton was when he finally put his problems behind him and broke out as a great slugger. In terms of post-hype teams, Washington is basically that. So are my Cleveland Indians. So this gives me something to look ahead to here. In a year where the Indians' bullpen of greatness of the last couple of years is behind them, the outfield looks like warmed over sludge again. Hey, maybe the Capitals are proving that it's never too late. And as I pivot to you, Steve, there's a lot of different angles to be taken here in terms of that, in terms of, as Joe said, about Ovechkin. And a lot of people are comparing it to John Elway 20 years ago, because you've got kind of the same thing there of somebody, you know, getting over the hump and showing that they can win the big one. 20 years since Washington had its only appearance in the finals, that took them a long time to get back. And ultimately on a team that had been on, again, as Joe said, a long run of futility before getting back, and playing a Vegas team that, again, you look at Fleury and a bunch of guys who you never would have believed would have had breakout years who did that, versus on the other side, Ovechkin, some of the other great offensive players, John Carlson, who I said going into the series, he had a chance to make his reputation as potentially the best defensive player in the league, and Braden Holtby and net, who, again, you talk about post-hype, that was not a regular season to write home about, but he was big, he was Braden Holtby when he needed to be. So a lot of different angles there, Steve. Chew over the ones you find most interesting.
Well, I thought Ovechkin has been the best player in hockey for like 10 years. I mean, I know everybody else is a Sidney Crosby guy. Joe and I are Ovechkin guys. And I was interested to see Barry Melrose after the championship was won, after the cup was won, where he said, well, the best player in the NHL finally won a cup. And I've never heard Barry Melrose say that before. you know, everybody loves a winner, but he's been an incredible player. And the reason I would pick Ovechkin over Crosby is Ovechkin will give it out and he'll take it, just like anybody else on the ice. He's not a superstar when it comes to checking and being checked. And I think he's one of the great goal scorers of all time. He reminds me of Rocket Richard, and I've only seen tape of Rocket Richard, but he has that kind of mentality. His shot on the left side there on power plays is the most incredible single weapon. I don't know if I can call it a skyhook, but he's done that hundreds of times in his career, and I don't remember anyone else who has that signature shot left of the faceoff circle, where when you get it to him, everybody knows it's going there, but it's still going in. In that respect, it is a little like a skyhook. But I will say a couple of things. I thought Holtby should have, I love Ovechkin, and I have no problems that he got it, but I think Holtby, don't forget the Conn Smythe Award is for the entire playoffs.
Yes.
And I give Joe Staes that credit. He did like Washington. I like Tampa Bay. I jumped off the Barry Trotz Ovechkin. Once Trotz got there and couldn't win, I was like, come on, how many times am I going to pick these guys? I had picked Tampa Bay a couple of years ago when Stamkos got hurt, so I went back to them this year. Thought they were in good shape. But who shut out Tampa Bay Game 6 and Game 7? Holtby. And don't forget, Holtby didn't even start the playoffs. He was in there for the first two games. And what, Barry Trotz is a genius now? He puts the guy in? Because Holtby has always been a pretty good playoff and a great regular season goalie. I agree with you, Rick. He did not have the best regular season. But still, this guy, and Joe and I talked about it here, we can see this goalie, Holtby, winning the cup, and he finally did. But again, I don't want to get anything away from Ovechkin, but, you know, Kuznetsov.
Kuznetsov
had more points, more assists. He had a better plus minus. I'm not saying he should have gotten it because Ovechkin, as you know, at the end of the day, he's the goal scorer, and that's how you win games. You score goals. But personally, I would have given it to Holtby, who also had the best goal against average of any goalie in the playoff. The two plays Joe mentioned, it's rare to me that you can define a Stanley Cup final in two plays, but I agree. Capitals are up 3-2. In game two, they lost the first game, and Holtby makes this incredible. He was on to his left, and the puck came all the way to his right on Alex Tuck's stick, and somehow, I still don't know how he did it. I watched it five times yesterday. He gets over and just gets his stick down and his blocker over there and somehow blocked that shot. If they tie it up there and Vegas is already up 1-0 and Vegas is at home, you never know what's going to happen, but certainly the momentum would have shifted to Vegas. And then in game four, as Joe said, with about 4:30 left in the game, now James Neal, he was one of my favorites with the Penguins. He was one of those guys you need to win a Stanley Cup, and he's a cup winner with Pittsburgh, and he was a 30-goal scorer. He had 25 goals this year for Vegas, and I still don't know how it happened because Holtby not only was on the other side of the net, he was a little out of the crease past the far goal post, and James Neal literally had a 4-foot by 6-foot open net, and he hit the far post where Holtby was. I mean, it was just so weird. It wasn't a bouncy puck. He was able to catch, you know, stop it and lay it down, and boy, and especially James Neal, who I won't call him a sniper, but he scored some big-time goals in his career. Those two, and that was at the beginning of Game 4. If it goes in, they're up 1-0. Again, they lost 6-2, so you never know what's going to happen. In fact, James Neal came back to score later in the game, but it obviously wasn't enough. So, I agree with you guys. I give Vegas a lot of credit. I will say, because I know a little bit about these expansion teams going back to the late 60s when they went from 6 to 12 teams, the six expansion teams were in their own conference. So every year, an expansion team made the cup finals. You can't compare that to what these guys did because they were incredible. But I will also say the draft that they got, Joe and I talked about this before the draft, Marc-Andre Fleury was available because the Penguins are going with Matt Murray, and they should. He's like 23, 24 years old. But Fleury is a multiple Stanley Cup winning goalie, and if you get him, you always have a chance. But you're right. They had some guys you didn't even know, Carlson, you know, you didn't even know that they were going to have career years, but they did. And a solid guy like McNeil. So they've got two guys from the Penguins with cup-winning experience who played really well this year. So I give them a lot of credit as well. But all in all, I think Joe's right. The most overriding memory will be Ovechkin and just the emotion of finally winning one, which he totally deserves.
Absolutely. And that outcry from all of Washington, which, again, hadn't won a championship since the Redskins back in the 91 season. So a big, long overdue burst from the point of view of all the D.C. fans out there, as in the finals, the Washington Monument triumphs over the Eiffel Tower, as it were. So, I have to say, my feel for these things, I've done pretty good in picking in the playoffs the last couple of years, except for this year. I was 7-8 in the series, and the last four times in the finals, I've gotten it wrong. The last one I got right was Kings over Rangers in 2014, which you didn't have to be Nostradamus to see that one coming. So,
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it has constantly eluded me over a period of time these last couple of years. I thought Vegas was going to keep it going, and again, as you guys indicated, but for a bounce here or there, who knows how these things turn out. Alternate history is always one of my favorite fascinating topics. Any closing thoughts on this from you, Joe?
You know, I think they're, now that they've gotten over the hump, I think that they're, you know, kind of a team that will take that, parlay that, and not be that deep, afraid to win, and, you know, kind of question themselves, and they get to the playoffs. God forbid they play the Penguins again. I think they're going to be more confident, more comfortable, and, you know, being the champions, being the hunted, you know, rather than the hunters. And, you know, I could see them possibly winning a cup more or two.
Very possibly. With that kind of talent, it can never be ruled out. What say you, Steve?
Yeah, two things. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about George McPhee, who drafted virtually all of the Capitals.
Yep.
I mean, he drafted Ovechkin, Kuznetsov. I mean, he drafted, but he was there for over 13 years, I think. And yet he flips around and gets hired to, you know, essentially a team that hadn't even been formed yet. And look what he did. I wonder what his feelings were sitting up there. I'm sure he wanted Vegas to win, but there must have been some pride. And he really did structure that team as well as Vegas. So give him a lot of credit. And the other thing that I find fascinating, and I don't know why this is like this. Maybe they thought like I did, as opposed to like Joe Stazak thought. They didn't give Barry Trotz a contract. Now he wins the cup, and he's a free agent. So he's going to make some real money. I assume they're going to bring him back, but it's going to be at a lot bigger number than if they had signed him before the season or last year for an extension. Again, very unusual in my experience to see coaches go into the season, and this is their last season. So he didn't gamble on himself. Apparently they didn't offer one, but he's now hit the jackpot, and whatever they're going to pay him, it's going to be twice as much or more than they would have had to have paid him like a year ago.
I've seen it in my own experience. It happened in 2016. Ty Lue bet on himself. He was offered a contract after he took over as head coach. He put it in a drawer. He said, let's revisit it after the championship. And that proved a very, very wise bet on himself. I'd say a higher percentage bet on himself than Barry Trotz made. Barry Trotz probably took more guts making that bet because of his own history in the playoffs and Ovechkin's history and everybody else's. But, yeah, they got it done. And worth noting as well, I'll note this in closing, both general managers, not just McPhee, I am proud to say, much like my mom, Bowling Green State University Falcons. So the College of Winners, as it were, with the Stanley Cup Finals here, guaranteed to have a Falcon on the cup either way, and that's how it ended up playing out. The Caps win the cup 4-1. I agree with you guys. May not be the last that we hear of them in June in years to come. But at any rate, a pleasure breaking it down with both of you. Thank you both for being here today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for FDH Lounge mini episode number 996.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.